Hello, Kickbear family. Welcome to the Eagles post game. Here, my foot. Welcome back to the Eagles post game pod. I am your host, Gavin, joined alongside my brothers. I got James is back to working again. Haven't seen him in 3 weeks. It's all good. And producer Dom is always. Dom, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Oh, and we got Pat.
Breaking news. Pat is joined.
Breaking news. Pat has showed the working man is back to work.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Victory beer, I'm good.
So hold on. Can we, this needs to be a side comment for not now, but for later. I get criticized for my extracurricular activities I sometimes do in this program, but this guy can bring a victory beer to the show, and it does get judged.
Beer's a little bit more widely accepted as of right now.
It's fine. Listen, victory beer, victory Monday, no how you want to put the birds win. They beat the Chiefs 20-17. It was an ugly one, but we'll go around the table starts. I'll go last because I have some strong opinions myself. But, guys, a win is a win. I'm tired of using a narrative because I'm going to use a new term called surviving, but I'll say that later. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'll start. This was a hard-fought game by both teams. It was punch, counterpunch, and the Eagles came out on top. Was it pretty at times? No. I think that they learned a lot. They're going to learn a lot about themselves after this one. But all in all, it's only week two. You know, you're still figuring a lot of things out, a lot of little things to clean up. But the most important thing right now is that this football team is 2-0. And for the first time in Pat Mahomes' career, he is 0-3. So all in all,
back to his days, Texas Tech.
Yeah. Yeah, all in all, I think a good day around. I mean, I'm going to go back and watch the tape tomorrow morning. I'll have a lot more thoughts then. But those are just my initial thoughts right off the bat. This football team's 2-0. They're playing winning football, and or rather continuing to play winning football and finding new ways to get things done, which is something I think we should all be excited about.
Yeah, Dom, I think you bring up a real good point. I thought the offense was really stagnant. First, kind of like what they were against the Cowboys. You know, it was a grinded out game, as we talked about in our private group chat. But I think they did a great job of battling through and figuring it out as they went. And I think we all would agree that getting the receivers not only open but involved is definitely what they need to do moving forward. But it was a grinded out game. They did what they needed to do. And they pulled out the W in a 20-17 fashion. I thought the defense also played exceptionally well. And, you know, hats off to Andrew Mukuba. I'm saying that right? Yep.
Yeah,
I mean, that was great play, getting that, you know, the tip drill off Travis Kelce's hands and getting the interception. Huge day for the rookie, and I think all around.
Yeah.
Right, and I think this team all around, you know, they got a lot to learn about themselves. But, again, it's week two, right? This is kind of like the start they had last year where they started off kind of slow. Although last year it was 1-1 and then getting kind of cooked by the Buccaneers. But, you know, it is what it is. They always get cooked in Tampa. I think moving forward, I've said it before and I'll say it again, they'll be just fine. It's just our expectation of the Birds is we see them firing on all cylinders at all times, and it's just been more of a grind it out. But, hey, that's Philly.
Yeah, I did not expect Drew Mukuba to have this good of a game week two. Especially for a rookie, you know. I mean, hats off to him. He was all over the place today. Like, I don't think there was a single play that he wasn't somewhat involved in or near. You know what I mean? Like, he was always on top of the play. Now, granted, what we said about the offense, it still needs to be worked out. You know, we said this in our group chat. Kevin Petullo has still a lot to work on. But hopefully you can get the receivers a lot more involved for more than just 6 yards at a time. You know what I mean? Because those 6 yards aren't going to get you much.
Yeah. I mean, granted, go ahead, Gavin. Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead, James. You got it.
I was just going to say, granted, they didn't have Dallas Goedert out there playing. And I don't know where Grant, you know, was his face. I'm drawing a blank. Thank you. Calipatera was. So they had to rely on their third option there, which definitely, like, we all know Jalen Hurts, the tight end, usually opens up a huge part of that pass game, whereas they didn't really have that option. So they kind of had to figure it out as they went. But other than that, I thought they looked good. Obviously, yeah, the offense was a little stagnant, but, you know, they figured it out.
They were definitely missing Goddard a lot of that game.
Yep.
Because you didn't have that safety net to rely on all the time. Brady talked about it on the broadcast. Tight ends are your safety net. Mm-hmm. When you don't have that, it's not a great look for your offense.
Absolutely.
Well, to say, the term I'm going to use is the Eagles survive again. I thought this week the defense was way better. You hold Mahomes, let's be realistic, really 14 points. He has one stupidly long scramble touchdown that honestly needs to be cleaned up. Mahomes isn't Lamar Jackson out here open field. That is one part of this game that I do agree with, is that he doesn't get used a lot in the run game. And he saves it, so I think that's why he gets through these things. But, guys, that's unacceptable at any level or any defense. Watch Mahomes run for how he did against your defense.
Pretty much untouched, too. That was a bad one.
And that's the reason why. But defensively, I think Drew did – listen, we're not going to try that last name here. Not yet.
Akuba?
Not yet. Got to make sure I get it right. They have a safety that I like. You can put him in the box. He reminds of a Buda Baker-like S getting after the quarterback. You can put him in the box if needed to, but they don't have to. And then he takes – and then he is the secondary man. I mean, he took an interception. My issues with the offense today. Kevin Petula has Brian Johnson disorder. And I'm not even trying to be funny when I say that. He does, because here's the issue why. It's the same shit we said 2 years ago with this offense. It's stagnant. It's old. It's dry. Jalen Hurts looks terrible in the air game. And here's the reason why. Last year, we was on a monumental run with a running back that you haven't had in the backfield in a while. So, maybe you can go back to say, I want to say
Brian Westbrook. I would go with Sean.
That's nothing against those two guys, but I don't think those are fair comparisons.
But no, but they're not. But the stature of what you have. Yeah. I understand last year being the year of Saquon Barkley and what can he do underneath this offense. I agree with that. The man ran for 2,002 KC. Listen, I ain't forget that. But for my quarterback to look like that passing with those two wide receivers out here, granted, we know Dallas Goedert wasn't here. I don't give a damn, because it's still the same issue we had last week with not hitting wide receivers. You think it's me? It may be me. I don't know.
No, I mean, you kind of said it best. I think that even like taking a shot on 3rd and 8 rather than like just kind of throwing it up for like a prayer – instead of taking shots on 1st or 2nd down, you know, mix it up a little bit. Because the ground game, the Chiefs did a great job of stopping Saquon. I mean, he had, it was like quiet 75, 80 yards on the ground. Right? There you go. But, like, it wasn't flashy by any means, you know what I mean? It wasn't any big runs other than that touchdown run. Other than that, they did a really nice job. I would say of containing Saquon.
I apologize in advance.
You're good. But, yeah, I think that, like, taking shots kind of when – you know, it's desperation was like, what the heck are you doing? It's like, you're taking like a shot in the dark here. You know, they're not mixing it up enough. It was just like,
to my point, right? Sorry to cut you off, James, but you're making my point.
Exactly.
If you run the damn ball 20 times, you don't think, especially how good you ran it last year, you don't think that a defense, I'm not even talking about the Chiefs, I'm going back to last week too. You don't think teams are expecting that shit and you're not going to just throw it not once? I mean, yo, I was watching the Colts, right? Because I don't watch one game. I watch Red Zone. I watch a bunch of other stuff around. You know what makes those other teams, and regardless of records or not, you know what makes the Colts look nice and all that? Because they actually take shots down the field and it makes sense. I watched the Colts go run after run after run with Jonathan Taylor, and then after they got it to 3rd down, they said, you know what we're going to do? It's 3rd and 3. It's 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4, and we're going to pass. Even though 3rd down, but nowadays, I mean, Pat brought up a great point, why are we running on 3rd and 21? But I'm just saying, if you are so predictable, At what point do we have to look at you and say, do something different? Listen, I think Jalen Hurts is a phenomenal passer. I think A.J. Brown is a top five wide receiver. And I think Devontae Smith's a top 15 wide receiver. I think so, right?
I think he's top 10.
Top 10.
I think he's top 10, too.
Listen, top 15, top 10. I just don't think that. I don't give a damn if Dallas Goedert was there or not. When you still have them two, because let's be realistic, guys. Dallas Goedert misses how many games a year, and that doesn't mean nothing too much to nobody. Calcaterra did fine last year. So, no, this is an issue with the offense and scheming. You can't win a game by doing the same shit. You're just lucky enough that last week, Dak Prescott actually didn't propel him into the end, so he just put him in position to get there, and y'all were able, and CeeDee Lamb turned into me and couldn't catch at the end of the game.
I would say arguably the Eagles just played not to lose. Not to cut you off, but it was like, that was funny, Gab. That was funny. That was a good one. I got to take him a second just to acknowledge that. That was funny. That was good. I would say that the Eagles didn't. They played not to lose.
They don't play not. You're right. They don't play not to lose, but I think the way how they get coached offensively, you get scared. Listen, I'll put it like this, right? Everybody wants nice things. Not everybody has nice things. Some people have nice things and don't know what to do with those nice things sometimes, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's like getting like a new pair of shoes and like a new pair of Jordans, and they're white and you wear them in the rain and you walk across the grass. You don't do that, but you never had them shoes. To you, they're just shoes. So I'll use it like this. You have nice toys. I understand you're the new guy that never used these toys, but here's or no, that you never got the chance to call and use the toys how you want to use them. But you've been here long enough to see how each one of those toys work. And the fact that you go ahead, Ben.
Hang on. The other thing is, did anyone notice Jahan Dotson on the offense?
Not today, no.
Exactly.
They were using him differently.
Yeah. But you know, you have arguably three number one receivers, right?
You have three. And you have a burner in Mechie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cooper.
Yeah. I didn't even see those guys.
But you know, you arguably have three number one receivers in Brown, Smith, and Dotson. You didn't use Dotson at all today.
Also, what is the whole point in bringing A.J. Dillon here?
Fullback. Yeah, that's the entire reason, for fullback reasons. Fullback and third down. That's
so
it.
What, the Tank Bigsby, I understand you got Terry here, but what are we doing?
Was Tank Terry active today?
Don't think so.
I don't think Tank was active today. I didn't see him out there.
They're going to figure out what they're going to do with him. They need to take some time to figure out what they're going to
do
with him. Smith, though. I do like that pickup. I thought that was a great pickup.
Darius Smith was all over the place, too, today. I liked him so far.
Well, it's the reason why he's a former Pro Bowler.
Yeah, granted, he's 33 years old, but he doesn't look like he's missing a step so far.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, those last couple of years with Sue and some of those other guys that we got that we stole.
Oh, yes. Sue and Robert Quinn, those dudes look old. Yeah. Those dudes look old.
Zadarius Smith looks right. Like he's still got like quite a bit left in the tank.
Sue was a pushover. Yeah. All right. But fellas, this style play can get you past a new Cowboys offense with a defense that's shaky. And you barely got past that. Then you go against a Chiefs team that's banged up. Defense got to them today. You can't do that next week versus the Rams, damn it. You might be able to. I think Matt Stafford.
I think you can get to Stafford.
I think Stafford's a little banged up.
Stafford doesn't have any legs.
But neither do I. But I think.
Jeez.
Listen.
Well, but
my point is
that's what, 2 and 2 minutes, and he's ripped off.
he's working through it.
Listen, my point I'm trying to make is, granted, the stature of Matt Stafford, if not, they almost came in your house and beat you before.
Yeah, but that was also a snow game too. Like, you know,
that
a lot of your offense is limited in the snow game.
Well, hold on. That's true, but what's the difference from that to there? they're going to be playing in probably nice ass conditions next Sunday at the link. So if it's a snow game and we ran the football, what do you think a team, not to mention Matthew Stafford, was slinging in the snow? So what do you think is going to be different when you see him this time? Not to mention,
they have because he had to sling in the snow. They couldn't run in the snow with them. Saquon is able to do it. They couldn't. They weren't able to do it because they're not used to it.
They didn't have the fire. They didn't have the experience of doing it.
And if you remember last year, we went out there and we kicked their ass, and Saquon ran all over them.
Yeah. The Saquon last year doesn't matter no more. This is not the same team from last year. Anything that happened last year is a piece of dream, and it can get rolled up in the joint and smoked out of here. It did not happen no more.
Well, it did, but
it did. You're right. But my point is like, yo, the Rams' defense of this, like, yo, their front actually is more mature. They have a front. They actually have two number one wide receivers. I just watched Puka Nacua take a halfback swing. I don't know, to the crib today. Granted,
plus they got Tay Adams. We got to remember that.
They also got Killer Tay.
Yeah, they got Tay. That's what I'm trying to say.
They still got Kyron Williams. You can, and Blake Corum looked nice today. No one's going to say, I'll be the first one to say. All I'm trying to say is, guys, is this play, I understand James Wright is week two, and the difference from last year is 1-1 versus 2-0. But some guys said best on Twitter. He's like, these are wins where, like, I'm not going around and say, go, Birds. I'm like, yeah, go, Birds. Like, even we know there's some things we got to fix. And there's a lot of teams that got to fix.
There's a lot of adjustments to be made, definitely.
This cannot go on. For the first two weeks,
you know, as much shit as I've given Petullo over the last, like, week and a half, and even halfway through this game, I think he's learning. He's slowly learning. Like Dom said, he's slowly getting there.
He's been here.
Yeah, but here's
the
thing.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't been
in the current position.
But he hasn't been here in the position set.
Yeah, okay, I mean, that's the big difference when you're not the one doing the play calling.
I understand that. But if you've been here, you should know how some things – like, this is my issue with Brian Johnson. Yeah, one second. I'll see you. This is the issue I have with Brian Johnson. You saw how this shit worked the year before, and you didn't try to I understand teams get different game plans and stuff like that, but my issue is when you're a journeyman, you've been here before me, and you've been here since, so you saw the good, you saw the bad. I understand you're new and you're in a good position, but I haven't seen anything since those years that you got you where you go. We're doing the same shit. Yeah, go ahead.
I disagree that we're doing the same stuff. Maybe the results look similar, but I'm seeing a lot more 12 personnel early, especially in their first 15 to 20 plays. That's something we didn't see a whole lot of with Shane Steichen. That's something we didn't see a ton of on a week-to-week basis with Kellen Moore. Now, the result of what that's doing, yeah, sure. I have my questions there. But – With that being said, Kevin Petullo, yes, he's been here from the beginning with Sirianni. But going from a position coach to or slash analyst position, or where you're like a run or pass game coordinator, where you are really just doing a lot of game planning and helping run meetings during the week, and you know, throwing a bone in the bowl here and there for the play caller, is a totally different job on game day. On game day from being a play caller. He's, you know, one thing I saw in the second half that this show is going to talk about, but I don't see the mainstream talking about, and that's not a shot, by the way. Like, I don't expect him to talk about this, but he got in rhythm. He got in rhythm in the second half. Okay. He kept going outside zone and stretch, and okay, Spags adjusted to it. So what's he do? Okay, you know what? They're folding this way. They have backers looping this way. They're setting the edge this way. I'm going to go to the crack cross. It was getting positive yardage. He didn't abandon that shot play. All this talk about he's not taking shots down the field, I'm not going to dismiss that. I have to really watch the film to see, like, you know, who was open where and what. I'll say this. I don't like A.J. Brown on a lot of in-breaking routes. You know, to me, you really have to treat him as like a perimeter tight end where he's stretching the field. So I can go with a lot of those sentiments. But from the standpoint of, you know, the pass game looks stale, I really have to watch the film tomorrow to see what's going on there. Like, the TV broadcast doesn't do it justice. I'm not saying it's a null and void thing, but I really have to, I have to watch. I won't know until I watch the film. I don't know about that.
And I do want to say, Dom, too, as you were talking, I was also thinking about the way that Jalen Hurts plays and the fact that he's very much a game manager, too. He's not a guy that's going to, you know, like we saw in the Super Bowl, right? They were stretching the field. But the thing is, let's be honest, I mean, they were up huge when they were taking, like, deep, deep shots, right? Like that huge one, Devontae Smith, right? Even, like, today, they got into Devontae Smith late because they kind of had to. But Jalen Hurts is very much a game manager, and he's very good at not turning the ball over, and I think
that's a big part of playing football. And that's one of the more underrated aspects of his game is not turning 100%. The ball over. Here's the thing.
But that's what he plays too. He plays not to turn the ball over. So a lot of times it's also the play type of the player. I know it is. I'm not going to argue that. I'm just saying that's why we're not seeing a lot of this crazy, like over the top type of routes. You know what I mean? Because he's not throwing it to get intercepted. Sure. He's going to do his checkdowns, look at his, you know, his quick glance and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. James, no, I appreciate you saying that because you kind of just took it.
Yeah, but if you're going to do that, you got to be going more than fucking like 5 yards. Like, you can't counteract that by running.
No, 100%. But now here's the thing, right? As soon as, and this is what drives me nuts about this fan base is we talk about, you know, they're going to start it happened with Kellen Moore last year. Oh, he's doing a lot more shit concept. He's taking shots down the field. We're seeing more vert stuff. This team's got to run the ball, guys. Like, that's my issue here. We're going to start calling for this guy to start taking shots. And then if and when they do that, then we're going to think they're not running the ball. He's figuring out a lot of stuff. It's going to take another week or two to really get in rhythm as a play caller where he's seeing stuff a player to ahead. It is, you know. And any coach will tell you that. It takes time to get in rhythm as a first-year play caller. Now, I'm not saying, you know, he's in the clear that, you know, that he's not guilty of anything. He didn't have a good week one. I don't like the static looks that they give. I don't. All right? That's something I do want to see change. I'll go back to it again with A.J. Brown. While they got him the ball more on every slant and in-breaking route, I want to see him downfield more. Just like you saw Devontae, which, by the way, credit to Petullo for not giving up on that specific call.
Yeah.
So, I you know, you have to take the good with the bad at the end of the day. I think tomorrow morning there's going to be a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks that are going to say, you know, the one in spite of this guy. And, yeah, he may have had rough spots. I'm not there yet, though. I personally have to watch the film to really see, you know, what the issues in the pass game are.
He just looked like Brian Johnson to me. That's all.
And I wouldn't go that far.
But it's just like the stagnant. Like, what I mean by Brian Johnson, and I'm not talking about the style offense. Like, granted, they all have their own philosophies. But there's no way you get an interception and only go like 5 yards every time. Like, that's the issue I have.
Hold on, Dom.
But what I'm trying to say is not just that only point. It's when the Eagles get the ball in a spot that's like, oh, like, that's instant. Like, if you look at, like, okay, when the Chiefs went for it on that side of the field and they didn't get it, right? When they didn't get it there, any other offense or any other team, you look at that, you're like, well, they're at least going to push the ball down the field or going to move the pill and do something more. And the fact that we're doing the same thing and then get nowhere and kick three, I'm like, that's the issue I have. It's the same thing we said with Brian Johnson the year after the Super Bowl year when the Eagles would get a turnover. Well, the very few turnovers they got that year, because I know Deshaun Desai was a bigger issue, they wasn't going nowhere with the football. They weren't moving nowhere. No one made that Eagles offense so scary last year, and it wasn't just because Saquon Barkley was on the side of the football running or that. It was the fact that every time that Eagles offense touched the ball, and James, to your point where you can't expect 40, not even about the whole 40, it was just every time they touched the ball, you knew they were moving the ball down the field. So, that's where I get pissed off with the whole chemical food. The whole figuring out thing, sure, I don't really want to hear that. You have all season, all summer long to figure shit out and all week long to do things. So now it's time to go. Because you're going to be in one of those situations, and luckily because if this situation was 0-2, it would be a different story. The only reason why I'm saying it now, if we were 0-2, because we're one dropping and what? One interception going a different way from being 0-2, So I look at it as like that. Look, everybody said that's cool, but I'm like, yo, you've been around for long enough to figure this shit out to go and make it work. I don't want to see no 20. What is it? 22, 23, 23. No, 24.
But the other part of that is he's been in the organization, but he hasn't been a signal caller in the organization. This is his first time really trying to prove himself as a signal caller. So I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway, you know, as much as I don't like the 5-yard plays, you know, I'm going to give him a little bit of stuff like every once in a while, but since he's learning, he's getting better. Go ahead, Dom.
We're cool with 5 yards every time. We're not moving the fucking football nowhere.
I have a question for everybody.
Go ahead.
So are we, so like, let me ask you guys this. I just want to make sure I'm like thinking along the right lines here. When you say these 5-yard plays, like, we realize like we're not seeing the entire route concept, right? Like, there's guys downfield. They may not be open. Like, remember who he was going up against today. I mean,
oh, 100%.
That's true.
I'm not explicit. You got to prepare for that, though. You do have to prepare for that. But I mean, you know, we talk about all these 5-yard, you know, hey, you know, five yards of dink and dunk here and there. You know, what if that? And I listen now. That there's another layer to this conversation to look at throughout the week. What if that was all that was available today in a lot of those spots? As for like the complementary football, Gab, were you talking, I want to go back to this because I thought this was an interesting point. Were you talking about after the 4th-and-1 stop on the Kareem Hunt run?
Yeah.
And they ran the ball. So to me, that like that's them trying to keep KC's offense off the field. It's 1st and 10 to the +35. They went 12 personnel stretch. Yeah, they only got a yard. But to me, like I was looking at now I didn't like the play after that, the swing pass. But to me, when you're in that, you know, you're not quite in the red zone, but you're just outside of it, like the +35 to the +30 range. That's especially off of a turnover. That's kind of the world is your oyster. To like what the sequencing told me there was, hey, if we get X amount of yards off stretch with Saquon, if it's a short yardage situation, which we've been pretty good at today, then we're going to either go back to it like he did the next drive, which actually went to it 3 times in a row, or, you know, we might muck it up a bit and go in a different direction. Obviously, you know, I think that the stop changed things, and that's why they have that pass concept. I'm not a big fan of all those swing passes either, by the way. That's one thing I want to see go. I don't mind it here and there, but the frequency is meh. So like, I don't know. You know, maybe they're doing something a little different when it comes to how they complement the defense after a turn. And then listen, there were times last year where complimentary football was an issue. And Sirianni's even in the training camp this year, he's very confident. So I don't know. I do think that's part of the point here is how they do complimentary football. I think you're on something.
When did that 4th-and-1 happen? Like what quarter?
Third quarter.
Well, how much time?
I don't keep time on my game chart. Let me see.
There's a reason to that, man. I just want to ask for it.
Oh, hold on.
Okay. Did you know when it was?
Nah, I'm playing
on the timestamp.
Yeah.
It was okay. It was middle of the third quarter.
I understand when to keep the Chiefs offense off, right? I do. But if you in a position to go put points on the board, fucking put the points on the board. Just go do it. Like, just go put points on the board. It's not that difficult. That's the issue I have with some things in that moment. Like Dom, the sequence of you're not wrong, but if that's something that happened in the fourth quarter, because in the fourth quarter, I view the game as, all right, let's take away offensive possessions as much as you can. If your mindset is doing that, like, if that's what Tua's mindset, oh, we're just going to get a few yards here to give the – you want to come at the defense? Go put some fucking points on the board. They just got a 4th-and-1 stop on their own side, on that side.
And that's a Sirianni issue because he's the head coach, so he determines that situational philosophy.
I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but
regardless of whoever calling it, I'm only blaming one person because that's the side of the ball it falls on. If you want to compliment Vic Fangio and his defense for getting a 4th-and-1 against the Chiefs in that position, go put some fucking points on the board. We don't care about you wasting time for them to get it back again. We don't care. We don't want to hear none of that.
They might have been trying to do both. They might have been trying to do both.
No, but
yeah. You're trying to get 4th on the board. It was an unsuccessful drive.
No, right. I mean, remember they're playing a damn good KC defense.
I understand that. I get that. But just in general, I don't want to see the same damn run twice. I don't. I really don't. And then you get to like a 3rd-and-1, and it's everybody line up. All right, ready? James, you're the center. We're falling. And 3, 2, 1, push. No, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it.
But everybody pushed so hard for it to stay, so why don't we want to see
it? Dominic, not that. What I'm trying to say is I get that. But what I'm trying to say is like, the tush push has become part of the offensive repertoire. Before that was something you'd be like, oh, it's 4th and 1. Yeah, no, that reeks of desperation now because you can't push the ball on your first 3 tries to go do something because you're doing dumb shit running the ball the same way 3 times. Now, listen, I got to run. I got to prepare for tomorrow, but I want to say one thing. It's great seeing both you gentlemen. Dom, as always, on Friday, I'll see you again at some point. James will get you there. But, fellas, that's all I'm trying to say. My point I'm trying to make here is that you're not wrong when it comes to tempo, and you're not wrong about anything like that. But in the point of that game, especially who you know on the other side of the ball, because, damn it, you got to acknowledge Mahomes still plays football on the other side. Go put points on the board and stop running to the right. And if it doesn't work to the right, hey, Pat, guess what? Pat, if it doesn't work to the right, guess what you do? We're going to go to the left. And then guess what? If it doesn't go to the left and it's 3rd-and-2, all right, everybody – push on 3. 1, 2, 3, push. Oh, damn. And then Jake Elliott coming out and kick the field goal. That's a tragic. That's tragic. Yeah.
Hang on. It's good to have Jake back. Jake had a hell of a game.
No, I'm not disrespecting Jake Elliott when I say that. But no, I'm just saying.
We're just putting it out there that we are acknowledging that he had a fantastic game.
I'm just saying the logic behind what we just seen this offense do sometimes, and I mean going back to last week, like my criticism also is coming from last week as well. What we've seen the offense do recently,
they did a lot to clean up.
Huh? Yeah, they got clean up. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I'm not trying to take away from these wins. These wins are big wins. I agree they are. But let's be realistic here. They're two, like I said, they're a CeeDee Lamb drop and maybe 1 or 2 plays not going away, especially at the end, for them being 0-2. And I'll leave it like that. Fellas, I'll catch you guys sometime during the week.
You got it.
You guys take it out for me.
The other thing I want to mention is what was going on with Tyler Steen today?
Yeah, mentally.
He was just off, and he wasn't with it today. I don't know what his issue was.
Yeah, I think personally, listen, it was 90 degrees. Maybe the heat was getting to him. He doesn't look like he's the most in shape compared to the guys he plays with plays alongside with in that unit. So I think there was something mentally there, and the heat was getting to him. But you know, he'll hopefully live and he'll learn. Yeah, but you can't have those early communication mistakes that he had, and you know, those little mental lows down the stretch. Another great game, in my opinion. You know, I know a lot of it may not show up on the stat sheet, but another really good week from Jahad Campbell back on that defense. 7 tackles, 5 solo tackles. Once again, was really reliable in coverage. I loved how Vic started to use him in blitz spots here and there. I think that was a good adjustment on his end to have him come up and scrape here and there, where he just walks up, says hello, and then they're passing. Yeah, now I'm going. I continue to like what I see from Jahad Campbell. You know, I'll say this, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, but Cooper DeJean continues to be the most consistent defender that this defense has. There was a lot of little issues early in terms of tackling, not with Coop. He continues to be
he did get stiff-armed pretty good by Travis Kelce. Other than that, he was good.
He did. You know, another good day from Zach Bond, 5 solo tackles. You know, obviously you can always rely on him. Him, Jahad, and Makuba, all 3 combined pressures. So, you know, there were some things on the defense that I just think they still have to clean up too. A lot of that is more fundamental than scheme based.
Yeah.
I really don't. And Pat, you put the coal in the engine on this train, but I know it's week two. But man, Adoree Jackson does not look good.
He is not good at all.
To limit him
being, I mean, you got to get that man a map, like Dora the Explorer. You know what I mean? Like, come on, get that man a map. You know what I mean? But look,
I didn't really expect this from him anyway.
It is what it is. Yeah. You got to find somebody else to replace him.
I said this when we let Slay go. I was like, you signed him. I was like, if you wanted an old cornerback, why wouldn't you just bring Slay back for another year or two? Why did you have to go out and get Adoree Jackson?
Yeah.
No, you seem to be right on that. He does not look good. I like James.
And Slay misses Philly too. He already misses Philly.
I know.
Like, how do you mess that up so bad?
Yeah, it's disappointing for sure.
James, you said it earlier where, hey, it is only week two, but man.
Dude, I don't even know if that's a week two issue. That's just that's him. That's just him.
That's just an age issue.
That's a skill issue. You know what I mean? Like, he's never been really – he's never been solid in the NFL.
No.
From being a top pick out of USC, you know, didn't he come out of the same draft class that Saquon did?
Yes.
Or there was something around there. I know they played each other in the Rose Bowl. That was right, but I mean, like, let's face it. Ever since he came to the league, he hasn't lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
So, of course, age goes against him. So at this point in his career, I mean, he's not getting better.
Yeah, anytime they throw it towards his side, he's always getting burnt. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Like, how have you made it this far in the league with getting burnt on every single coverage?
It's burnt too.
Really picking on him. Before that turnover, they were really going. Andy was really going at him. Back to the offense. Obviously, you know, not the Saquon Barkley that we were used to, or we got welcomed by last year. But another solid day from Saquon.
He was a little pissed at getting held to under 60 yards in the Super Bowl. Yeah. He showed up a little bit more today, but he still wasn't that great.
Yeah, I think they just defend him well.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I thought the teams would be doing is stacking the box. I mean, you saw it time and time again. And Kansas City brought the blitz quite often, early and often.
Yeah.
And they kept that pretty consistently throughout the game. So, I think, if Saquon is getting limited, contained, and still getting over, 80 yards, I mean, I'd love to see when they can't contain him like we saw last year. That's history.
And he had a touchdown. He had a couple big carries down the stretch. Obviously I think even though the win is the win, what's going to be talked about the most this week is they didn't score. They didn't get in the end zone through the air.
Yeah.
So, obviously there's going
to
be a lot.
And to go back to the like 5 yard plays, it's not so much that it's that bothers me. And, like you said, it's what's available to them. It's the fact that they had AJ, your top 50-50 guy running 5 yard outs and everything like that. That's not a good look for your top 50-50 ball wide receiver.
Yep.
You can't have him run 5 yard outs all the time. You have to have him go deep every once in a while.
No, and I think he needs to go deep consistently.
Yep.
Like he's been. Listen, he's one of the better vertical threats in the league. He's a receiver in a tight end's body. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that? That is a mismatch problem in a lot of situations. Against a lot of different teams in this league. So I get the frustrations there, and I totally agree. Listen, I think it's great that they're getting him involved in a different way on those in-breaking routes, especially if you're going out of those condensed formations. But, Pat, I do agree that, at the end of the day, he is best when he's headed downfield. Devontae Smith is best when he is going downfield, challenging the defense vertically. So to have both those guys, and you don't need to go back to Gavin's point earlier. As much gravity as Dallas Goedert draws in the middle of the field, you shouldn't need Dallas Goedert drawing all that gravity in the middle of the field.
Yeah, no, no,
yeah.
Actually, against a team like Kansas City, like I said, I'm gonna have to go back and watch the tape to see how much they played it. But Spats plays a lot of man, and he did in that Super Bowl, and that's why you were able to get those shots. But, you know, there's a lot to be learned from this one. I totally understand the fan base. Even though it's a win, it's going to be a victory Monday tomorrow. I totally understand the head scratching, the passing game.
I think the last thing I'd like to say on this is just I would personally just want to see more creativity and then kind of use some of those other guys that they picked up in the offseason to their advantage. But one other thing I kind of wanted to throw out there is it seems like there's a buildup, right? Like, they're not firing on all cylinders out the gate. Like, there's a really slow buildup. And as the season progresses, I think we're going to see, you know, that buildup of, like, okay, like, Saquon's not the Saquon we saw last year yet. AJ's not AJ Brown yet. Devontae's Devontae. Like, he went up there and made his plays. But, like, there's going to be a slow buildup of that offense getting – to full form, and once they do, holy sugar muffin biscuits, you better watch out because that team's going to be firing all cylinders. Yeah. You know, we just expected them to pick up where they left off in the Super Bowl, but, like, a lot's changed, new personnel, things change, different year. You know, we're going to see that progressive buildup, and I just like the fact that at least we're sitting here 2-0 rather than 0-2 because then all of Philly would be burnt right now.
Yeah, so you both are on hunger right now. I love it. Before you go, Pat, I further concur. Here's the thing: this offense needs to figure out an explosive element pretty soon. You know, I'm not saying that their identity is, you know, is going to be the explosive plays through the air, but yeah, when you have the weapons that they have, you can't continue to lack that explosiveness in the passing because you're not going to get it. Or I shouldn't say you're not going to, but there's a strong likelihood that you're not going to get it in the run game like you did last year. This was an explosive offense last year because they were so explosive in the run, and then they could do it through the air when they needed to, but it was primarily through the run. That's probably not going to be the case this year. Sure. So, I think both you guys are on 100 right now with this.
Yeah, everybody's going to be coming for Saquon this year because he ran for 2,005 yards last year. You know, everyone's going to be keyed in on him. So, like, you have to find a deep threat through the air, and I think that's Dotson. I'm going to be completely honest.
I think you're onto something there.
Because all the attention is going to be to AJ, Devontae, and Saquon. Nobody's going to be watching after Dotson as much. Start unloading the Dotson every once in a while.
Yeah,
flip the field, you know,
and he can open up a lot underneath in some of those costs, especially like how they like to have. It seems like Petullo likes to use him in motion, you know, not just you know getting that declaration of man on his own, but hey, he's in motion, and now and I'm sending, you know, I'm sending AJ or Devontae deep. I have Goddard, you know, doing either a Y cross like Kellen used to love to have him do, or a spot route. And that's going to open up something underneath. And Jahad Dotson's got the speed.
He's got the speed and the elusiveness. He returns kickoffs for us. Have AJ and Devontae go out deep. If they're not open, hit the Jahan Dotson on the under, and he can make plays.
Turn him into a yak monster, literally. You're on 100 right now. James, go ahead.
Dude, it's the same thing as Michi. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. I mean, get him over the middle for a nice slant. Like like you said earlier with AJ Brown, like they're doing a lot of those quick slants. And it's like, why are you using a guy that's a primary 50-50 guy? I know he's great at quick slants. I mean, we all seen what he's been able to do. Yeah. But like, you got those guys who are used in the slot for that reason, and you're not using them. You're using your, you know, star wide receiver. Same as like Devontae doing that. Like, he can do that. It's fine, but that's not like what we want to see them do. We need them on the outside as perimeter threats. Get the guys that you got to be in the slot, be in the slot, and go from there. And use the creative ability, use the skills that these guys have and their abilities athletically, right, to their advantage. Yeah. Like, that's all I'm saying is I want to see some more creativity. But again,
And the other thing that could be interesting is if Tank Bigsby gets, you know, activated next week, I could see him being used as like a Darren Sproles type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
To you spread him out wide and you just hit him on a quick little out pass, and have him make people miss.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't need to be the runner that everyone thinks he is.
You could have a two running back set, and you got Saquon on one side.
Oh, I love this.
And you got Tank Bigsby on the other. Next thing you know, both running backs are going out the flat. What's going to happen? Who am I going to throw it to? Then you got, you know, AJ and Devontae going deep or something. Like, dude, the possibilities are endless.
I love this. I love this dialogue.
Like, I'm thinking like an OC right now. Put me in, coach. Like, come on now.
You know, you have these guys that are elusive and fast. Use their elusiveness on offense.
Yep.
Have Jahan Dotson hit the under. He can make people miss. Have Tank Bigsby have hit the under, make people miss. Yep. He runs kickoffs for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Birds are in a figure it out phase at this point in time. And they need to figure out kind of what Gavin said earlier. Got all these toys. They just don't really know what to do with it this year. They got so many pieces to the puzzle, and they're just trying to figure out where those pieces fit into this scheme.
So, Petullo has a Lamborghini. He doesn't know how to drive it yet.
That's a great analogy. So I love that analogy, Pat, because when I coached basketball, we always told our point guards, we are giving you the keys to the car. How are you going to bring it back to us? That's a great analogy. No, everything you both just said, I mean, you guys know, like, I love the X's and O's. That's me at my core. So I love all this dialogue. What I'd love for them to install within like the next 2 weeks, and this will be really good for Jahan Dotson. So one of the trends that I'm noticing early in the season is you're seeing a lot of teams. Dallas did this a lot last week with Kevontae Turpin, where they line up either 2x2 or 3x1, and they motion that slot receiver into the backfield at the other side of the quarterback. And then it looks like it becomes a pro formation, which is two running backs, in the gun with the quarterback. I'd love for them to install something like that with Jahan Dotson. I think that would also be really beneficial for their screen game. That's another thing I didn't see enough of
tonight.
Was some of those creative screens that we've seen out of Kellen Moore, Shane Steichen, that, you know, have created easy touches just to get guys going. Not that Jalen necessarily still needs that at this point in his career, but now to Gavin's point, because of how you're scheming things for your receivers, they may need that. They may need that. But you both hit on a lot of great points there. I'm like fired up to talk X's and O's right now.
This is great.
This is great. This has been a great first post game show. And you guys, like, James, I think you know me well enough by now. Pat, you definitely know me well enough by now. I normally don't get this excited. So this has been a fun first post game show.
And the other thing is, from the looks of it so far, it looks like Petullo loves to run motion. Yeah, like he put AJ Brown in motion a lot today. Have that be Jahan Dotson instead of AJ Brown. Have it be Dotson and just have him in motion and make plays off of that. Like you like to run it so far, from what I've seen.
Yeah, definitely.
Just pick a different receiver to run it with.
No, 100%. And that brings me to one of my favorite stats from last year's Eagles team. The Eagles offense last year used motion on 50% of Jalen Hurts' dropbacks, and he was second in quarterback rating with motion and had the fifth highest touchdown rate with motion. Without motion, it's further down on my notes for whatever reason. I was a little disorganized when I was writing that the other week. But that is a great point. If you're going to continue to use as much motion, to utilize motion the way that you want to, especially because Jalen is better with motion, it helps him streamline his process from pre to post snap. You have to find more ways to do so, and you have the gadgets to do it in a guy like Jahan.
Yeah. You could use Mechie every once in a while.
Mechie's another guy I think that would be great for that, especially as he's kind of just getting reacclimated. As he's getting acclimated rather to a system. So finding different ways to get guys involved, spread the love.
Yeah.
But as we wind down here, two headlines. First, the Dallas Cowboys feel so confident that they have gone out and signed Jadeveon Clowney. I was kind of curious all spring where Clowney ended up at this point, just because
I don't understand that move.
I don't
at all
either, but that's like my
you let Micah Parsons go and then you sign a 33-year-old ghost of Jadeveon Clowney. Like, he's not as good as he used to be. Like, why would you let Micah go, and then your substitution is Jadeveon Clowney? It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the guy of Dallas Cowboys for you.
Yeah. But I hope Jerry Jones never dies, because then he could just continue to tear down the Cowboys as much as he wants.
Dude, it's like la 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 Jerry's world.
But yes, Jerry Jones has signed Jadeveon Clowney, and listen, not that I think Jadeveon Clowney is the presence that he once was. He's obviously still serviceable, but him at South Carolina was such a part of my like football fandom lore.
That was in my childhood, like teenage.
Yeah, 100%. So I was like, yeah, let's see where he's going to end up. This is probably his last ride. So let's see where he's going to end up. On a positive note, on a more positive and local note, the Phillies won the National League East without having to win it today.
We didn't win the East yet. We just clinched the playoff spot.
Yeah, just clinching, yep.
So we clinched because the Dodgers beat the Giants, but we still have to clinch the NL East, and we can do that tomorrow in LA.
Okay, I was like, it was Texas that was playing the Mets.
Yeah,
you're good.
So, and the Mets walked them off.
We're well on our way. I'll tell you that much.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we're well on our way to Red October.
Yes. My apologies there, though. I didn't mean
to. Hopefully a Red October watch party, maybe. Potentially.
100%. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So my apologies to our baseball lovers that follow us, because as you all know, once football season hits, I'm in full swing with a bunch of other stuff, so I get things mixed up, but I'm here. So this has been a fun first post-game show. It's a shame Kevin could
say. Absolutely.
I really enjoy the diversity and dialogue, and how many different ways the conversations went. We opened up a lot of interesting avenues to discuss throughout the week and to keep an eye on in the early portion of the season. Speaking of different avenues and further dialogue, basketball and hockey are around the corner. We will have Sixers and Flyers preview shows as well for you. That's going to teach me or reintroduce me to hockey. Now. Not that I ever did. I loved it as a kid. Pat's going to be my tour guide on the NHL, so I'm excited for that. James is going to be in studio soon with Gavin on Fridays. I can't wait to see what this guy cooks up once he gets into the studio.
Looking forward to it.
Pat set a high standard. I think James is going to do a good job.
We wish I could be there, man. I really wish I could be there.
Yeah, dude, we're going to miss you.
This has been
work's a pain in the ass every once in a while, but you know, it's fine.
Hey man, life's life.
But yeah,
life.
This has been a fun first post game. The Eagles beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl rematch 20-17. I'm Dom. That's James. That's Pat. You'll hear from Gavin throughout the week. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.